Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read together in the book of Genesis, chapter 45. Let us now consider verse 7, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Genesis 45 and at verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. There was a famine that had been foretold, that had been revealed. Pharaoh had been given dreams, not that he could make anything of his dreams, but Joseph was sent for from the prison where he had been unjustly sent. And the butler knew when Pharaoh was looking for someone to interpret dreams that Joseph could interpret dreams because he had correctly interpreted the butler's dreams. That is, Pharaoh's butler. And the interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams included this, that there was to be a period of 7 years when there would be abundant harvest. And then there was to be a period of 7 years when there would be famine. And Joseph advised that someone would be appointed who would manage the whole business and conserve food during the years of plenty and be in charge of distributing the food in the years of famine. And Joseph himself seemed obvious to Pharaoh, was the one who should be appointed. And among those affected by the famine were Joseph's own family, who came down to Egypt to buy food. And after one visit, when Joseph dealt somewhat roughly with them, they came back again. And this time, according to Joseph's direction, they brought their youngest brother, Benjamin, Joseph's full brother. And no doubt because of the way they had treated Joseph himself, Joseph was concerned about how they would treat Benjamin. But they appeared. And before they finally went back to their own place in the land of Canaan, Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. And part of what he tells them is our text this evening, that it was God who had sent him before them to Egypt to preserve them a posterity in the earth so that they wouldn't die, so that the family wouldn't be wiped out, and to save their lives by a great deliverance. Now that all refers to Joseph, but it is a higher reference. This is something typical, as we notice from time to time. Something typical, something that is a picture of spiritual matters and on a higher level. And what this points to, typically, is that God was to send his own son as a savior. The Jesus, the Son of God, in our nature, could say that his father had sent him to preserve the family of God in the earth and to save lives by a great deliverance. And that's what we want to speak about this evening, using Joseph's position in Egypt and God sending him there as a pattern for what we will try to say, God willing, about the gift of Christ to be a deliverer who came into the world so that there will be a spiritual seed in the earth and to save many lives by a great deliverance. Let us try to make 4 points. First, the danger of perishing. That's a danger we are all under as sinners in this world, that we will perish. Let us take that to heart. We, sinners that we are in danger of perishing. Perishing forever in a lost eternity. Secondly, that God has sent a deliverer. God sent his own son into the world that sinners might live through him. Third, lives are spared. Souls are spared from the destruction that I have referred to. Souls are saved. And then in the final place, that deliverance of souls, that is a great deliverance. That is a wonderful deliverance. First, there's the danger of perishing spiritually. Second, God sent a deliverer. Third, souls are saved, or lives are saved. And then, finally, that is a great deliverance. First then, the danger of perishing. You see, there was a famine. There was a famine in the land, not only in the land of Egypt, but in surrounding lands as well. And when people ran out of food, they needed to look around and see where food might be obtained. They needed to take up any hint there might be that there was food to be found. And no doubt, the news spread as various parts of that general area were running out of food. But they still have food in Egypt. And one group of people and another group of people would go down to Egypt to save themselves from perishing. The famine was so sore in all lands. But apart from a revelation from heaven, there would have been no particular steps taken to conserve food, to build up stocks. Joseph had his storehouses. But why did Joseph have storehouses? Why was this whole scheme organized so that there would be food for people in Egypt and other lands also? It was because of a revelation from heaven. And we are told that where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29. Where there is no vision, where there is no revelation, the people perish. Isn't that what is happening in this country in particular now? That yes, there is a revelation, but very few people take it seriously. There's a revelation. There's plenty of Bibles in the country. It's easy enough to buy a Bible. But are people ready to read them? Will people think that it is a good use of time to take up their Bible and to learn what is being revealed from heaven And where there is no vision, the people perish. And where the vision of God, the revelation of God is neglected. And yes, we have the revelation of God. Most of us will know a good bit about it. We'll know the basic outline of scripted history. We'll know in particular that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We'll know that we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that we might be saved. We'll know many a thing. But is it entering into our souls? Are we seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Are we serious about these spiritual realities? Are we serious about the danger of perishing? Are we? Are you? Are you serious? Are you serious about your soul? Are you serious about your soul's need? Are you serious about the danger of being sent down to a lost eternity because of your unbelief? You see, you have the revelation that God has given. But are you making use of it? Are you seeking the Lord while he may be found? Are you calling upon him while he is near? Are you making use of the vision, or more relevantly to our situation, are you making use of the revelation that God has given? And where there is no revelation, and where no use is made of the revelation, people perish. Yes. You see, the Savior's parable about the talents, and there was one man and he had one talent, but he neglected it. Even if it was just one rather than two or five as others had, he could have done something with it. Even if it was just to lend it out to get interest, even if he didn't trade, he could get made something of it. He could have got some interest. But no, he just buried it. He thought he was keeping it. He thought he was doing well just by keeping it safe, burying it in the earth. And it was safe. But he was getting no good from having the talent. And what was said was, he was an unprofitable servant. And the command went out, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, it's a solemn, solemn thought. The Lord taking sinners away from this world. And what is their destiny? What is their destination? It's outer darkness. Never relieved by any light. Never relieved by any blessing. Take ye the unprofitable servant. Are you an unprofitable servant? I know that the people of God may well say about themselves, I'm no use to anyone. I'm no use to the cause of Christ. Ah, well. See that you're not misrepresenting yourself. The Lord values the prayers, the poor prayers of his people. And think of this, that these petitions are being presented before God. How? Through the mediator. So they can't be useless. Keep on praying. Child of God, keep on praying. However feeble your petitions are, keep on. You see, the Savior, the intercessor in heaven, he is presenting poor, feeble prayers with all the impurity filtered out, presenting them before the throne of God. Keep on praying. You're not an unprofitable servant. You might be more profitable. That's true. We all might be more profitable if we were more careful and more earnest and more prayerful, more dependent. But you see, what is that? The wages of sin is death. Sinners perish. Eternal death. Oh, let us look at ourselves. Let us look at ourselves spiritually. What are we? What's our spiritual state? Are we unprofitable? Are we making use of the means of grace? I don't mean that we come into church. Obviously we're coming to church. And not just occasionally either. I know that. But you see, are we making use of what we hear? That's my question. Do you just let the word of God pass by without taking it in? Ah, what a wasting of spiritual resources. We hear plenty about the earth's resources and the danger of them running out and so on. Obviously, God's gifts, we are to be careful about them, even material things. We shouldn't be wasting things. We shouldn't be wasting food, for instance. But I'm just using that basically as an illustration just now. There are spiritual resources. There's spiritual food. Are we wasting it? What do I mean by that? When we have spiritual food set before us, when the word of God is preached, are we receiving it? Or are we wasting it? Are we throwing it away? Or treating it as irrelevant to us? You see, in connection with the word, what the word of God is teaching, are we saying, this is useful. God has given it. It could do me a lot of good. Do we neglect? Do we throw it away? Do we pass it by? Do we hear it and go away? And it's as if we had never heard anything. For all the further attention we pay to it, do we go down on our knees afterward to ask the Lord to bless it to our souls? Even if it didn't seem to have any effect on us when we were listening to it. Are we asking the Lord to bless it to us afterwards? Or do we say, it was useless anyway? I'm not going to spend more time. There's better things to spend time. Ah. Let us not misrepresent the goodness of God by speaking in that kind of way. The goodness of God in giving His word. The goodness of God in giving us the gospel. The good news that speaks to our need. Just as I'm sure the people going back from Egypt, or the people going back from Joseph's storehouses, and they've got a good load of food, and they say, I wonder will it last out till next year, or 6 months' time, or whatever it might be. I wonder will it last out. Well, one thing they're going to do is, they're going to watch that they don't waste it. They're going to watch that they're not careless about the way they put it on their asses or whatever. And that grain is going to leak away out of their bags. They want to get it all home so that it will feed them. Well, are we concerned to get it all home? Are we concerned to get further good from the word of God? Yes. And you see, there's sin in being careless about God's word. And you see, the wages of sin is death. A sinner going through this world and coming to death. And he hasn't made use of the supplies of spiritual food that have been so much within his reach. He reaches his death. Or he is just swept away in an accident. Whatever it might be. Yes. His sin has not been taken away. His sin is there waiting for him, can we say, on the other side of death. It's going to keep him out of heaven. It's going to cast him down into a lost eternity. His waste of gospel opportunities. What about your waste of gospel opportunities? Your waste, your wasting of the good teaching that you find in the Bible about how to be prepared for eternity. You say you don't understand. Well, go to the Lord with your lack of understanding. You see, if I can use that as a further illustration, the people that brought their food back from Joseph, they would cook it. They would make it fit for eating. Well, how will you make your spiritual food, the food that there is in the Bible, how will you make it fit for eating? Well, pray over it. Meditate on it, but especially pray over it. Bring it before God. Bring it with all your difficulties, your lack of understanding. Yes, but see, just to stress this word perishing just now, with just a glance at the rich man and thinking of what the Savior said about the rich man and Lazarus and what we have said before us about the experience of the rich man in a lost eternity. It was this, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger, just the tip of his finger, and cool my tongue. It wouldn't do much. He imagined it would do a little. And his situation was so bad that he would ask for that. For I am tormented in this flame, perishing. Let us go on to the deliverer. God sent a deliverer. That in the first instance was Joseph. God sent him as a deliverer so that there would be food. He would be a means of organizing the storage of food in the good years and a means of managing the distribution of it in the years of famine. Well, without going into that in detail, he told his brothers when they came down. You have that in verse 5. Therefore be not grieved. There's grace and kindliness and affection in the attitude of Joseph. Be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, painful though it was for him. For God did send me before you to preserve life. God did send me. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, to be the Savior of sinners throughout the world. The Father sent the Son. Oh, grasp at that. You need a deliverer, do you? Ah, yes, you do. We all do. Some have found the deliverer. That is true. But we all need the deliverer. And the deliverer has been provided. God appointed the deliverer. Go seeking him. Go out seeking him. Come to church seeking him. Read your Bible seeking him. Go on your knees and pray to God in search of him. Search of this great deliverer. It's a great deliverance. We're to notice that. A great deliverance. God has provided a deliverer. There's no reason why any of us should come to the conclusion, there's no salvation for me. That's unbelief. And we're to plead for a living faith in the living deliverer. The one who died so that there might be salvation. The one who came into this world. Yes. You see, he says, it's recorded in chapter 50. As for you, ye thought evil against me. God, but God made it, that God meant it unto good to save much people alive. Now the same thing could be said of the Savior. There were those who put him to death. There were those who willfully rejected him and would have him away from this world. They meant it for evil. God meant it for good, as he did with Joseph. Ah, let us lay hold of that. God meant it for good, that Christ Jesus should be crucified. You see, as Peter put it in the day of Pentecost, referring to Christ, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands so crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Christ died for sinners. That's it. People in this world meant it for evil. God meant it for good, that he might be a deliverer. That's why he came into the world. That was it. Christ came into this world to deliver sinners from destruction. Yes, let us all be seeking to lay hold on that. That truth, that revelation that has been set before us. Christ is a deliverer. That's what you need. That's what I need. And we all need him. Some need him who have never laid hold of him yet. And some need to be laying hold of him more. Ah, let the people of God be coming, even as if they had never believed in Christ before. Let them be coming, even as if they had never found Christ in the past. Let them come now. Christ set before them in the preaching of the gospel. Christ is a deliverer. Christ is the one who came into the world to save sinners. Christ who came into the world to meet the needs of creatures like us. Christ came, the God-appointed deliverer, who did all that was necessary. Such an high priest became us, we are told. He fitted us. He was suited to our needs. You see? And he must go down to the dust of death. So you have that in Psalm 22. Explaining the history that we have in the Gospels. Christ died. But why did he die? Oh, it was that he might be a deliverer, that he might deliver sinners from the wrath to come. Christ, we are told, hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, the righteous one in the place of the unrighteous. That's it. Christ died so that sinners might not die. Eternally. So that they might not perish. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See it all brought out there. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There must be a bond coming between us and Christ. If we're on our own, if we're making our own way through life, we're going to perish. That there is Christ the deliverer, and there must be a uniting us to Christ, and faith is that uniting power by the grace of God. Yes, we're to believe in him, and if we believe, we will be united to Christ, we will be one with Christ, and we will never perish. We will have everlasting life. Yes, Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, that he might bring us from our foolishness and our willfulness and our rebellion, our sin, that he might bring us from our course of perishing, going down to a lost eternity. But this deliverer can rescue you from that. Do not be careless. Do not go on in carelessness. There's hope, you see. Do not despair. Never say, hey, there's no hope for me. While you are on mercy's ground, while the gospel is still proclaimed, while Christ is still speaking, while Christ is still making himself known as a Savior, there's hope for every sinner under heaven, if only they hear the gospel. Do not despair. Seek him again. Oh, he is not casting you off yet. He has not cast you off yet. You wouldn't be here if Christ had cast you off. There's still hope for sinners. Yes, look to Christ. Yes. Now this, what I'm going to say just now applies particularly to Israel as a nation, but there are aspects of it that apply to sinners everywhere. I'm quoted from Romans 11. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away in godliness for Jacob, from Jacob. Christ the deliverer came to his own people, the Jews. But he is coming wherever the word of God is preached. He is coming that he might be proclaimed as a Savior, as a deliverer. Yes. And when he comes, when he draws sinners to himself, their sins are forgiven. Their lives are spared in a spiritual sense. They will never perish. They will never perish. Oh, what a blessing that sinners who deserve eternal life, eternal death, would be brought into this situation, that it could be pronounced over them because of the great work of the deliverer. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man, any being, pluck them out of my hand. Third point, lives are saved. You might look at Jacob and his sons, and their food is running low. What will they do? Well, the obvious answer is, it's obvious to Jacob. They must go back to Egypt. There's food in Egypt. Let them go down to Egypt. Oh, the sons see difficulties there. The man used us roughly. He kept Simeon back. He put him in prison. What will he do with the rest of us this time? There's all these difficulties in the way. Ah, but Jacob says to them, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get ye down thither and buy for us, that we may live and not die. There's corn in Egypt. Ah, yes. There's spiritual food in the preaching of the gospel. Christ is coming. Christ comes in connection with the preaching. Are you crying out as Bartimaeus did, as the blind man did? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Feed my soul. Enable me to lay hold of Christ. Enable me to receive Christ Jesus as a Savior suited for me. A Savior suited for old people. Yes? A Savior suited to young people. A Savior suited to everyone. Whoever is here this evening, if they have any degree of understanding of what has been said, I'm proclaiming a deliverer that is suited to you in your particular needs. A suitable Savior, provided in the wisdom of God, in the infinite wisdom of God, take him then, sinner, that you might not perish, that your life might be saved, that you might be delivered from going down to destruction, that you would not perish, that you would not perish eternally. Oh, take him this evening. Cry out in your soul to this great and glorious Savior. God be merciful to me, a sinner, as that other man cried out. Yes, and he was heard. I'm in no position to say how many people in this church in all the years, 120 plus years since this building was erected, how many people inside this building heard about the deliverer and cried out to him and were saved. I'm sure it's a good number, and many of them, very many of them now in heaven. And it's the same deliverer that's been proclaimed this evening. Come then, sinner, and lay hold of Christ. Cry out in your soul, God be merciful to me, a sinner, for the sake of the deliverer, the one who did all that was necessary for the salvation of sinners, the one who died, the one who gave up his life, that there might be life for the unworthy. Yes, come. Come now. Do not delay. Do not put it off to some supposedly more convenient season. No time in your life will be any more convenient than now. You might have various reasons that if we were discussing the matter you might put to me. But, you see, convenient seasons have a habit of disappearing. You never reach them. The time may come, and God grant that it may come, and in connection with everyone here, God grant that it may come, that at a time, even when you do not feel it to be convenient, the Holy Spirit would lay hold on you and make you able and willing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you will be saved. Yes, that's the call, that your soul might be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the truth. It's been revealed from heaven. We are to receive it. That's what is relevant to us in our need, in our great need as sinners. Yes, see how the Saviour said, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He will never perish, but he must eat the flesh of Christ, and he must drink the blood, his blood. And that's what was so off-putting for the people who listened to him in the synagogue in Capernaum. This is a hard saying, they said. Who can hear it? Ah, well. What a difference it would have made for these people if they had followed Jesus wherever he went when he went out of the synagogue. And they would say, and they might say, Rabbi, Rabbi, will you answer a question? Of this question, what does it mean to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and to drink his blood? What does it mean? What a difference it could have made. But instead, they just threw it all away. They wasted that opportunity. What a precious opportunity it was. Others found Christ as a Savior. Others realized that he was a Savior suited to them and their needs, like the woman of Samaria, for instance. Ah, what a blessing. She didn't give up. Oh, she argued. She argued. But the Savior was patient. He is still patient. He's still patient. Sinner, the Savior is still patient. But do not abuse his patience. But come to him now. Come with your question. Come and ask, what is meant by this? What is meant by that? I need grace. I need some understand. Give me that understand. Remember the words of Isaiah 1. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. What is he saying then? when he speaks about eating his flesh. We are to receive, that's the first thing. We are to receive Christ. We are to believe in him as the one that came into this world, the one that took human age. His flesh comes in there. We are to receive him as the Savior that came into this world. And we are to drink his blood. We are to receive him as the one who died, the one who poured out his blood. Why did he die? He died the just one in the place of the unjust. He died in the place of sinners. Receive him as a great, glorious Savior. That's what I am to say. I am to call on you to receive Christ. I am to call on you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive him as a Savior that is altogether suited to you in your need. That's a testimony of God. That's why you're to receive it. That Christ is so altogether suitable. He's a suitable deliverer, a suitable Savior. Now people can be appointed to lead armies, and people can be appointed to as prime ministers or presidents, and it's soon apparent that they're not really suitable. Well, whatever it is that we need, as to our souls, we don't need to go any further just now. Whatever we need is to our souls. Christ is suitable. Christ is suitable to me. And therefore, may I be receiving him. May I receive him now. Christ is suitable to you. So you are to receive. That you might not perish. Yes. He says, I am the life, the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Let me set another call from heaven before you. The Lord saying, seek ye me, and ye shall live, but seek not Bethel, where the false gods of the Israelites were. And making that, taking parallels in contemporary society, the Lord is saying to you to seek him and you will live. But do not seek in Bethel. Do not seek in the spiritual equivalent of Bethel. Do not seek where there are false gods. Do not seek false gods. Do not seek false religion. Perhaps that's not your particular danger, that you cannot rule that out. But do not seek to find satisfaction in the things of this world. Seek Christ. Seek God through Christ. Do not seek in the ways of this world for satisfaction, in the entertainments of this generation. Do not seek there. Yes. But seek Christ. Seek God in the way that he has appointed. Seek the deliverer that he has appointed, that you might not perish in a lost eternity. Finally, it is a great deliverance. Let us quote again from John chapter 6, where the Savior says, I am the bread of life. I am the one that can give true spiritual life. I am the bread of life. He that believeth in me shall never hunger. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth in me shall never thirst. The one who believes in Christ will have no real need and supply. If you believe in Christ, if you receive him as the one whom the Father sent as the great deliverer, the one who can really deliver sinners from going down to the pit, who is able to deliver you from going down to destruction. Yes, he is the one who can feed your soul. He is the one that you are to receive. It's a great deliverance. It's an effective deliverance that has been provided. Oh, go to Christ. Do not go anywhere else. Do not look to yourself. But go to Christ as the one who really is able to save your soul. Take another statement from the Saviour in John chapter 8. If the Son therefore shall make you free, if the Son of God, the Son of Man, shall deliver you from Satan's kingdom and from the broad way that leads down to eternal destruction. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you will be free indeed. He will save you with a great deliverance. What a great deliverance was provided for the people in Egypt and for people like Jacob's family who went down to buy from this man who all unknown to him had been provided by God himself. But you see, they let us think of Christ as God's provision for a lost world. Let us consider how great the blessing is. It's heaven at last. It's help throughout your time in this world. It's the Lord undertaking to take you by the hand and lead you on safely. Oh, how many difficulties that are in life. How many difficulties. And the great deliverer is able to take you by the hand and lead you on safely when things get particularly difficult and particularly sad events take place. Take another look at Christ then. Here's the great deliverer. The great deliverer in the first place from sin and from eternal destruction. But a deliverer from trouble and need in this world. Yes, but this is the deliverance of bringing guilty souls, or souls who were guilty, and having granted them forgiveness and accepted them as righteous in the sight of God for the sake of what he has done, and accepted them as his own children, adopted them into his family. Yes, and take a view of them as we can use the telescope of Scripture to take a little look into heaven. Take the telescope of Scripture as you find it in Revelation 7. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. What a deliverance! What a great deliverance! How complete is the deliverance? It's not going down to eternal destruction, which is what sinners deserve. It's heaven, with all its blessedness, in the presence of God, in the presence of Christ. Yes. It's a great blessing, it's a great deliverance, to be in the kingdom of God in this world. Oh, what a deliverance it is. To be brought at last to eternal glory. They shall never perish. That's true in this world. They shall never perish. But when it's all made perfect, when everything is complete, when sinners are brought into eternal glory, when sinners are brought to be in that place where there is no more curse, can you not say it with all the emphasis that we should put upon it in the light of the revelation we have been given? Oh, what a deliverance. How great is the deliverance. It's altogether beyond the understanding that we can have in this world. Though we can get some understanding of that by faith in the light of the revelation. But what a deliverance when the soul is brought into eternal glory, and when, a stage further on, at the resurrection, after the judgment, when the soul is brought into eternal blessedness as a complete individual again. Yes, but now, altogether perfect. when the summons is given, the gracious summons is given by the deliverer. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yes, come. Oh, there's that word sounding out from heaven now, sounding out from the deliverer, who is the deliverer, who has finished the work that was given him to do. He is calling on every sinner here, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, that invitation is still open. Do not turn it down. Do not say, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I will accept it, but not now. I want to go on in sin. Is that your language? Ah, well, hear the voice of Christ resounding in your ear once more. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Yes, think of heaven and all its blessedness. And yet, do you really believe in the blessedness of heaven? It wouldn't be a convenient place. It wouldn't be an attractive place for someone whose heart is unrenewed, whose heart still goes after its covetousness. But ask the Lord to change. Ask the Lord to give you a love for holy things. Ask the Lord to give you a love for Christ. Ask the Lord to give you to see what he is as the deliverer. And how blessed and wonderful heaven will be for you, whatever difficulties you might experience in this world. Yes, he is a great deliverer. This is a great deliverance. This is a great salvation. But let me stress the words of the apostle in Hebrews 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape? Ah, yes, I've told you, the word of God has told you how you can escape, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great salvation, a wonderful salvation. But you must believe. You must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must receive him as a Savior suited to you, a Savior provided by God in infinite mercy, in infinite kindness. Yes, but how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hear these words. I'm going to repeat them again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You will experience that great deliverance. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Help us, Lord. Mix thy word with faith in our hearts. Do not leave us to ourselves. Grant us thy blessing. Pardon us and keep us, and give us grace to seek thee, and grace to find thee. Reveal thyself to us. Reveal, may Christ reveal himself to us, as he revealed himself when he was in this world to people like the woman of Samaria, and many a sinner since then, to whom he has come, in connection with the word, and when we have had the word in our ears, over the days of a communion season, and in particular today, when we were pointed to the one who loved sinners and gave himself for them, grant that we would receive Christ as he is revealed to us in Scripture, as the great, great, wonderful deliverer. Pardon us and keep us. Bless us. Bless us with spiritual blessings. Go before us always and wash away our sin. Do us good for the Redeemer's sake. Amen.